would say in that video, if you have an encounter with real Jesus, doesn't matter what's cool, doesn't matter what else is going on. And that's what this word is all about this year. Introduced it last week. I'll kind of do a little bit of a review, and then we're going to pick up with some of the other specific points. But it's all about coming home to Jesus. This isn't about coming home necessarily to Abundant Life Fellowship, but if you're coming home to Abundant Life Fellowship, that's awesome. We're glad you're here. But it's about coming home to Jesus. It's about Jesus being that place in, filling in that place in your heart where he is home. And last week at the end of the service, and there's a pile of them back, there's a little booklet called My Heart, Christ's Home. If you didn't get one, please take one. Read it. It's really simple read. It's about 16 pages, but it's relevant to what this is all about. This is about coming home to Jesus. Coming home to Jesus. I'm not talking about eternity yet, but that promise is there. Promise of eternity is there. That's awesome. That's the bigger, wider promise. But we're talking about living in him and having a relationship with him in a daily, tangible life. It's an encounter that isn't just an experience, but it's a life-changing, and everyday life experience of I'm walking with you every day. I'm home with you every day. I'm serving you every day. I'm worshiping you every day. I'm sometimes falling and picking myself back up again every day. But every day, it's about you. It's for you. It's with you. And that's what this is all about. So come home. We're coming home. And what's awesome, there's people in the room that are home today. They're home. They've been home, but they're home today, and that's awesome. And the passage that goes with it is the account of the prodigal, and I'm going to just go through it real quick. It's Jesus teaching about lost things. Jesus teaching about lost things and lost people. And in John 15, he says, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of my estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country. He began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to be a citizen of the country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up, went to his father, but while he was still a long way off. It's relevant. It's so relevant. His father saw him. While you're still a long way off, maybe you're in this room and you say, I'm still a long way off. I'm still a long way off. Your father sees you from a distance. His father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. That's what this word is about this year. It's what this word, we're inviting people. We're inviting people to come home to Jesus. That may be us. It may be us personally. If it's us personally, respond to it. Do it. Do it. Come home to Jesus because there's a place for you. There's a place for you. You belong. You belong. And you don't have to be like anybody else and everybody else. You get to be who you are. He'll mold and shape you into the person he wants you to be. So that's what this word's about. The Father sees from afar. And this word came in response to a specific spiritual word that was given to me. And I'm going to share it again because it's context for this. And there's important information here that we're going to be hearing about over and over again. We're going to hear this passage over and over again, and we're going to hear this part of this word over and over again. And part of this was for me, specifically for me as the pastor here, but some of it was for us. Prepare your heart, son. I have done a great work in you. The time has come to go deeper within your heart. As a shepherd, you have been anointed with my heart to love and care for my body. Part of this deep work I'm doing will cause you to feel my love and concern for them. I'm increasing discernment for these last days. As you stand in my counsel, pay attention to that. As you stand in my counsel, more wisdom will fill you. My wisdom, my wisdom. I'm sending a part of my remnant to you to love and to nurture. They've been led astray by false teachers. You will lead them in the path of life. The anointing of restoration is upon you and the people of abundant life. That's why this word come home is so it's important, because this is our assignment. This is part of our assignment. It's part of our assignment to invite people to come home, because we're in the business of restoring. We're in the work of restoring. There's an anointing to do that. There's an empowerment. That's an empowerment from God. It's an empowerment from the Holy Spirit to do that. This isn't a man-made conjured up thing. This is an anointing from God that he's given to us, an assignment he's given to us to bring restoration. And it's not just on me, it's on us. This is an us thing. Continue to stand in my counsel. Continue to stand in my counsel. Continue to stand in my counsel. We're going to hear a lot about that. What does that mean? What does that mean? We're going to evaluate ourselves. Am I standing in this counsel? Am I listening for his voice? How am I doing it? Am I grounded in the word? If I'm not grounded in the word, I'm not going to be in this counsel. I'm going to hear all kinds of things that won't connect, and they won't be grounded in truth. So stand in my counsel. I'm preparing a people to stand in my counsel with you. So again, this isn't just me. This is us. You will not fall as the storms increase. The storms will increase. The storms will increase. I can tell you that. You will increase in power. And with the counsel I give you, his counsel, we see that word counsel in there 3 or 4 times. It's really important, really important. But today we're going to talk about, there's four layers to this word. I don't know how well you can see the flyer, but it says be redeemed, be reconciled, be restored, be renewed. There's 4 layers to this, four specific things that are part of this coming home. And today we're going to look at, I don't know how far we'll get. I'm ready to do it all, but we're already running short on time. So we'll get as far as we get. But today we're going to talk about being redeemed. Just by definition, to compensate for faults and bad aspects of something. Something that compensates for the faults or bad aspects of something. Well, we were all born into a sinful world with all kinds of faults and all kinds of bad aspects. And the if I just swore at you, Arl, I'm sorry. That's awesome. How am I going to gain control of this, you know? Okay. Gain or regain possession. Boy, we need to gain or regain possession of something right here, right now. Gain or regain possession of something in exchange for payment. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. It's kind of like, I was thinking of redemption. Connie and I went to Target last week, and she had this coupon that was like, I don't know, it was 40 off of 40. And so we spent about $42 and only spent $2. And I was like, man, that's really cool. How do they make money on this? I don't know how they make money on that. But I was thinking about a coupon, you turn it in and you get, there's a compensation for it. There's something that takes the place of it. You're redeeming it. Well, see, the thing about Jesus is, boy, he redeems everything about those faults, those bad things, that sinful nature of ours. And even when we choose, like the son, to say, I'm going out and I'm going to go do my own thing for a while, and for whatever reason we come to our senses, the Father sees us. He says, I still want to redeem you. The redemption is still good. The coupon hasn't expired. The coupon that I offer you does not expire. In Isaiah It says, now the Lord, but now says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And again, when we were singing in my Father's house, there's a place for you. He says, I know you by name. I call you by name. Come home. Come home. Come home to me. Because you're mine. You don't belong to the systems out there. You don't. My plans and their plans don't mix. They don't work. You can't have a little bit of them and a little bit of me. But yet we live out there. We live out there, and there's purpose for that. And we'll get to that as this year unfolds. I have redeemed you. I'm that compensation. I was sent for that very purpose, the scriptures tell us, to redeem you. In Exodus, we read this, therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. I will bring you out from the yoke. I will bring you out from the yoke. He's saying, come back home and get out from under the yoke that is the world's systems, that is the chaos and the clutter and the confusion that is all around out there. Yes, we live out there, but we can live out there with complete clarity when we come home to Jesus, because he gives us, we stand in his counsel. He gives us instruction. He gives us insights into how to do it. His way will always be the only way. We can't mix and match. I will free you. I will free you from being slaves to them. If you want to be freed from being a slave to the world's systems, come home to Jesus. He says, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. The father saw his son, and he saw him from a distance, and he ran to him, and he wrapped his arms around him. He wrapped his arms around him. And even though the son says, I'm not even worthy to be called your son because I messed up. I rejected God, I rejected you. But here's the father saying, you're home now. You're home now. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. I'll love you back in. I'll love you and care for you back in. I will take you as my own people. I will be your God. Then you will know that I'm the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I'll take you as my own people. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are, what your background is, where you came from. Everybody wants to belong to something. Everybody wants to have a sense of belonging. But when we find that identity in him, we find that identity in Christ, no, nothing else will compare. Nothing else will compare. Nothing else will even matter in the big scheme of things. Other things matter in life. But in the big scheme of things, he matters first. First Peter, it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Not perishable things. It was Jesus. Jesus, eternal Jesus. Eternal Jesus redeemed you from the empty way of life. See, when we're not home with Jesus, there's a lot of emptiness. There's a lot of emptiness. And we could probably go around this room and say, before Jesus, I can't even begin to explain to you the emptiness that I felt. The hole that was in my heart. And see, the thing about it is, even in Jesus, there's times when we allow holes. That's why this little booklet talks about, it goes through little rooms. The whole account is written as if there are little rooms set up in our heart. My heart, Christ, home. And there's sometimes little rooms that we like to kind of keep separate. And it's those little rooms that create holes in our heart. And he's saying, I want to fill every room. I want to fill every room. I want to seal off every hole. I want to redeem you from every empty place, from every empty place. And the scripture says, handed down to you from your ancestors. We're born into that sinful nature. You may say, well, I was born into a Christian family. Awesome. Awesome. You have many things in your favor. But your family's salvation doesn't save you. Your family's salvation does not save you. You're born into a Christian family, but you were still born into a sinful world with a sinful nature. Galatians, when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to do what? To redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption into sonship. That we might receive adoption into sonship. Redemption. Redemption. Jesus, the only redemptive way. The only one that has this standing invitation that says, come home to me. It will not expire. There was no room for Jesus in the inn, but there's never going to be a sign out that says there's no room for you. No matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've maybe walked away, no matter how much you may think you've disappointed him, we've all been there. We all are still there at times. We're imperfect. But the sign says, welcome, come home. The sign says, welcome, come home. Come home, come home. I'm your only redeemer. There's no other way. There's no other solution out there but Jesus. And I realize I'm speaking to a room full of mostly believers, as far as I know. But this message isn't just for us. It's for us. Who's on your radar, I asked last week. Who's on your radar as we're unfolding this series, this word for the year? Continue to ask Holy Spirit, who needs to see this? Who do I need to invite? Who do I need to come alongside? Who do I need to go have a cup of coffee with? Because there's a whole lot of people out there. In Romans, very familiar passage, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. All are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. To be received by faith. See, there's some that will read the first part of that and say, justified freely by his grace. Oh, everybody's in. Everybody's just automatically in. Nobody has to receive him. Nobody has to accept him. Nobody has to participate with him. Nobody has to do anything, because it's just this blanket invitation that he justified everybody just by what he did. Now, the invitation is there for everybody. But see, the latter part of this says to be received by faith. That's an act of our will. That is an act of our will. That is an act of our intentional participation in this free justification. I am taking this coupon. I'm taking this life that willingly went to the cross for me, and I'm saying, okay, now my life is set on you, but I'm going to receive it by faith, and I'm going to live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, the scripture tells us. So we can't separate faith in Jesus from the equation. Really, really important, because there's a whole lot of people out there say, well, his gift is for me, but I'm going to go and do whatever I want. I'm going to go live however I want. I'm missing an important part of the equation. Missing an important part of the equation. I told my class this morning, and we'll be hearing more about this. We studied how many, we didn't look at every reference to this, but we studied at a few verses about giving careful thought to our ways and how we live and how we function. I really believe that's an important part of this word for this year, and I'll be delving into that more as we get into this, but really, really important. I believe there's a seriousness to this. Now, don't think seriousness doesn't mean we can't laugh and have a good time and have joy in the journey, because we can have all that. But I believe there's a seriousness to this because there's a whole lot of people that are just dying out there, and people are just believing whatever they want to believe, and they're thinking it's okay, and no one's telling them the truth. No one's telling them the truth, and I believe part of our assignment in 2020 is to tell people the truth in love, in grace, just covered with all kinds of tenderness, but firm. And so, but it starts with us. It always starts with us. It starts with us saying, okay, I got to step up in my own side. And I think when I first even introduced this word, people were saying, I got to apply this to me personally, because at times people were saying, I've surrendered my first love. I've surrendered my first love and gotten involved in this and this and the other thing, and they're all good things. But I'm not hanging out with Jesus like I used to. Hang out with Jesus. It was a little aside. Titus tells us this: for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Again, the offer is for all people. The offer is for all people. Combine it with grace. Or combine it with faith. Got to combine it with faith. It teaches us to say no. That free gift of grace that's been offered to all people teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Why? To redeem us from all wickedness. To redeem us from all wickedness. To purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach. Pretty powerful words there. Pretty powerful words there. Reminders of kind of, in a little synopsis of the picture of the gospel. Grace was offered to every one of us. And in my Father's house, there's a place for you. I can walk around this room and say, this is for you. This is for you. This is for you. And speak your name, because he knows you by name. He knows you by name. Every one of you, he knows you by name. He knows you by name. But that grace that appeared that offered salvation to you also says, you don't have to do the things you used to do, because it empowers you and teaches you and instructs you to say, no, I don't need that anymore. Those referenced the son that went out and splurged all of his funds. It said wild living, whatever that looked like. And he says, you don't need that. And he found himself in a pig pen. State of need. Hungry for the things that were in the pig pen. There's lots of people caught up in that stuff out there, and we get to say, come on, let's pull them out. Let's pull them out. Let's pull them out. And I'm telling you this word, it may require you to actually do that, to go in. Go into the mire and say, come on. Maybe you'll need two or three people to pull them out. Pay attention. Holy Spirit is bringing revelation with his word. He's bringing revelation to people with his word. Pay attention. I think I'm going to stop there. We'll pick up on the next 3 points next week, but we'll get as far as we get. Come home. Come home. For some of you, experience of the Father running to greet you and wrapping his arms around you. Maybe you've never experienced it. Maybe you've never experienced it, but he's doing that. And I don't know how he can do it for somebody back there and somebody over there and somebody over there and somebody right here all at the same time, but he's a supernatural God. And his arms are strong and wide. But that's how personal this word is to his people. Let's stand. Last year we introduced the idea of connection groups, and some of them have begun to meet. And the sign up sheet's still out there. If you need a connection group, if you need to be able to connect with some people outside of here, because the whole idea of these connection groups is to meet somewhere other than this building. Maybe it's somebody's home, maybe it's a restaurant, maybe it's just some of you going and doing something together that you all like to do. But it's connecting. But there's already good things coming out of these connection groups. I probably say this every year when I introduce our word, but I believe it's true every single year. Lord's going to require of us. It's going to require of us. I can speak for Pastor Mark and Pastor Ben and others in leadership. We are not willing to settle for status quo ever. We're not ever willing to settle for last year's blessings. We're always coming at a place of stretch us some more, Lord. Purify us some more. Send us forth into territories that might scare us. He's proven himself so faithful every single time. He goes ahead of us. He does the work. We're just vessels. I said earlier, we stay bowed down. We stay bowed down. That's staying that place of, Lord, I need your counsel. I need your counsel. I need you to lead. But today, if you've never experienced redemption, if you've never experienced the redemption of Jesus, let today be your day of experiencing that washing. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we're so grateful. We're so grateful from the moment we stepped in this place this morning, we knew that you were at work, that your spirit was hovering and moving and in our midst, prodding and filling and healing and I pray today that as we embrace, even again, maybe it's a whole new experience, a revelation or understanding that I'm home. I'm home. I'm home. And it's not this building, that my home is in you, Jesus. I pray that the revelation of that will propel us. It will propel us that when we go out of here, and we go to other places where we minister, and other places where we work, and other places where we recreate, other places where we do life, that there'll be open doors for us to invite other people to come home. And we'll be able to tell people that even while you're far off, maybe you're far away from Jesus, He sees you and He's running to you and He's throwing open His arms to you and He's saying, come on, let's go. Let's go. So I pray this word will just be absorbed. It'll be absorbed into our spirit, into our mind, into our hearts, into our being. And we'll be active in putting it into practice in new and adventurous ways in 2020.